Sure.
We've got a lot of people out here. So.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is after 11 o'clock on July 22nd, and we're here for the Nonprofits and Charities Committee meeting, and we appreciate everybody taking the time to call in today. At this time, I would like to go through the list of people that had RSVP'd that they would be calling in, and then after that, we'll see who else is on the call. Mark McCreary is here with us. Greg Perkle.
Here.
Carol Berger.
Here.
Ivy Allen.
Here.
Chris Blunt.
Here.
Tom Buckley.
Here.
Ruth Cook.
Here.
Jan Eastman. Jet Hollingsworth.
Here.
Matt Holloman.
Here. Adolphus Weary. Yes.
Okay. Charles Lindsay.
Here.
Ed Maloney.
Here.
Matthew McLaughlin. McLaughlin. Bill Moak.
Here.
Linda Montgomery. Ann Neal.
Jan Eastman.
All right, Jan. Robert Payne.
Here.
Representative Reynolds. Jeannie Thomas.
Here.
Primus Wheeler.
Here.
Mike Wilbanks.
Here.
Roger Wilder. Senator Yancey.
Here.
Warren Yoder. Okay, and I heard Dolphus Weary called in.
Yes.
Is there anybody else on the call who's not answered the roll?
Sharon, this is Tricia Melvin and Kathy French. Dave Scott, Melanie Thomas, and I are here together.
Okay.
And Tanya Weber's here.
Tricia, Dave, Melanie, and Kathy.
Tanya Weber.
And Tanya.
Whitney Buchanan, representing Mark Ransier.
Okay.
Ann Neal with his wife.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, there might be some people calling in later, but at this time, I will turn it over to our chairman, McCreary, to start off the meeting.
Great. First of all, I want to express my appreciation and hopefully on behalf of the Secretary of State for all the work you all have done. You know, the reports are inspiring, they're thoughtful, insightful, and a special kudos to Carol, Charles, and Greg. You have done an outstanding job so far. Thank you for your leadership on the subcommittee.
Warren Yoder just joined.
Got it.
So I just, reviewing the reports and everything, and actually the word on the street is we have the most energetic, engaged committee overall, so I appreciate that. You know, it's that competitive nature some of us have a little bit. Don't want to belabor that, but we have three reports that we're going to be dealing with. Charles Lindsay with Transparency Compliance, Greg Perkle with Enforcement Subcommittee, then Carol Berger with Certification. So why don't we go ahead and get started. Charles, would you like to give us an update on your committee?
Absolutely, Mark. I'll make it brief, but we had a fantastic meeting last week. We covered numerous topics, a great group of people. We narrowed five items that we would like to report on a committee today, and I'll just hit those five, if I may, at this point.
Please do.
The first item that we took up was the new law that goes into effect, Code Section 79507, effective July 1. The Subcommittee on Transparency and Compliance reviewed the requirements of the law, and we felt like at this point that we would recommend that no additional action or tweaking to that law be suggested by our subcommittee, and we endorsed this law and following it through for a period of time before any further recommendations would come out of our committee.
Hey, Charles. This is Doug Jennings. Would you mind giving the committee just a little bit of an explanation of that what that bill's purpose is? I'm not sure everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Doug. Doug participated in the call and helped us tremendously. The law that became effective July 1 raised the threshold on charities receiving more than $500,000 must now have an audit. Previously, you'll recall that it was $100,000, so this was quite an increase. It also added a new requirement if a charity receives between $250,000 and $500,000 in revenue, they must submit a financial statement that's reviewed by an independent CPA. In a nutshell, that was the change, and our committee felt with this law just being passed that it was one we definitely could live with. The second item that our subcommittee took up was exploring a sliding scale fee schedule for charities that are registering with the Charities Division of the Secretary of State's office. And we batted around several ideas, but I believe the thing that we last talked about was that possibly there'd be a minimum fee that would be for charities that have to register, and then there'd be a second fee that charities that fall in the category that are required to have a review, and then the sliding scale would increase a third time for charities that are required to have an audit. Kathy French participated in our call, and Kathy, you may have something to add, but we agreed to continue looking at this issue. And I think there was kind of consensus among many on the call that it's important for the smaller charities that this fee, which I understand is presently $50, for the smaller charities that the fee not be increased or remain at a bare minimum. Anything to add on that, Kathy?
No, that's it.
The third item that our subcommittee took up was presently a charity is exempt from registration if their revenues are $4,000 or less. Our committee voted unanimously to support raising that exemption level from $4,000 to $25,000. And this higher level would coincide with the present requirements that the IRS has in place for entities that are required to file a 990. But we felt very strongly, and our written recommendation indicates, that along with in conjunction with this increase of the exemption threshold, that we should expand the authority of the Secretary of State's office to investigate all charities, not just those that are presently exempt or would be exempt under the new law. We felt like that it would be a disaster if we raised the threshold but didn't expand the authority of the Secretary of State to investigate other charities. Any questions on that or comments?
Now, Charles, this is primarily the focus of the exemption for reporting. Is that correct? Or is it?
Yes, Mark. Presently, if a charity has less than $4,000 in revenue, they do not have to report, and they're exempt from registering, if I understand it correctly. Is that right, Kathy?
That's true.
And so we feel that we should increase that threshold to $25,000, making it easier on our smallest charities. But at the same time, absolutely in conjunction with that increase in leeway, give the Secretary of State more authority to investigate all charities, not just those that are above the threshold.
Good. Sharon, I have a question for you. Would that go, the issue of enforcing that, would that go to the Enforcement Committee, or is there language that y'all would add to that in terms of giving the authority to the Secretary of State?
I think you would need to
give that issue to the enforcement committee to follow up on to make sure they incorporated it in their recommendation.
I think it makes a great deal of sense from my experience. So, okay, good. Great. Thanks, Charles.
Close to a dozen members on our committee, we voted unanimously in support of that suggestion.
Great.
The next item that we took up, item four of my big five, item four dealt with online registration of registration statements and annual reports being filed online with the Secretary of State's office. We were brought up to speed on the efforts currently underway. I felt like we, as a committee, wanted to say kudos to the Secretary of State's office for the work that's being done there. And we had no additional recommendation other than the fact that we all felt that was very important that this project continue to progress along and be brought online live as soon as possible. And then the last item that I felt like we needed to bring forth to the whole committee, we discussed conforming the registration and reporting deadlines with the Secretary of State's office, conforming those with the deadlines for filing the 990s with the IRS. And there was a good bit of discussion, pros and cons. We felt like that it was very punitive right now that small charities have so many deadlines to keep up with. And we were exploring some option that would conform the federal guidelines with the state. We landed on possibly one solution would be to go back to the legislature and obtain authority for the Secretary of State's Charities Division to be able to grant an extension to a charity that does not meet their filing deadline with the Secretary of State rather than conforming with the IRS 990s, which, you know, you can get an extension of basically up to 11 months after year end before you have to file. So our subcommittee voted to do a little more research on this, Mark, and at a later meeting we think that we need to revisit this with the possible recommendation of some type of language to change state law to enable an extension being granted. And, Mr. Chairman, that is, in a nutshell, the top five items from the Transparency and Compliance Subcommittee.
Great. Wow. Thank you, Charles. Are there any questions from the committee? Any thoughts?
Again, I want to thank Doug and Kathy and Phillips for being a part of our subcommittee. Their input was most valuable.
Very good. Well, Charles, thank you. And I know you're going to have to go. Before you go, I'd like to not right now. We'll do it through email, but schedule a chair committee meeting because there's a couple other things, and I'll talk about that later.
And I'm going to hang around for a while. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Greg, you want to share with us how the enforcement subcommittee what their work resulted in?
Yes. There was a great meeting that we had. There are a few technical issues that are my issues, actually, not my committee's issues, that we're working through. Our goal, our timeline was to try to offer a suggestion to the full committee today of a laundry list of particular enforcement actions we would like to see and some things we will add to that, such as the recommendation from the Transparency Committee that we look at the issues that were just mentioned. Unfortunately, the website that we set up, the blog, I have not been able to get the comments off of those. So there's a little bit of an issue with respect to what I need to do. But our goal is this. We want to come up with, and I've set a new deadline for myself by the end of this week, our committee will present to the full committee all of the enforcement provisions that we want. We've started a document that shows all of the enforcement provisions that we can Steve, of our wish list of things we would like to have for enforcement. And before the next meeting of August 12, our goal is to put those in order of these are the enforcement issues that we think are critical to charities in Mississippi. We think this is what has to happen for the Secretary of State. Next, we think that these are the enforcement provisions that are beneficial to the Secretary of State, and then finally some that we do not feel that the charities or that the charitable community would participate in. Again, unfortunately, I do not have that full list for you today because of my inability to get the comments off the blogs, but that was going to be today's, and by August 12th, our committee will meet again at least once between now and August 12th, perhaps twice, to discuss which one of those and the ordering in which we want to present those to the full committee.
Ah, very good. Now, Greg, is the blog, the issue is just the blog, you can't get the comments from the blog?
I think there have been several members who have logged on.
Okay.
But I think it's the ability to find the comment and how to put the comments in has been, or at least that's been the comments we've had from our administrative.
Sure.
User-friendly to our committee members. I've got to make sure that everybody is having the ability to leave their comments on the blog.
Good. I wanted to encourage people to use that blog because it's a great tool for communicating. So I appreciate you taking that on in your subcommittee. Thank you.
Greg, will you let us know when that has been addressed?
Yes, I actually want to probably have a conference call with the subcommittee and have the administrator on the phone at the same time so that we can all hear the problems that we're having with logging on or with posting comments. That's the main thing I want to address.
Thank you.
Good. Greg, in your mind, was there any big issues that are emerging from your subcommittee? Or is it?
So we went from all the way from how do you address online issues, how do you keep people from coming in online and taking advantage of Mississippi individuals making contributions to charities online, up to, you know, is there a way for us to remove their charter? How do we pull their charter so that they can no longer do business in Mississippi, to criminal actions against individuals who are abusive of the system? How do we have a distinction between punishing the charity and punishing the individuals who are making bad decisions on behalf of the charity?
Yeah, very good. A real quick question: we get calls at the center from people who say, "Well, I made a donation, but I don't think the donation went to do what I wanted it to do." Did that emerge at all?
Yes, we talked about the different issues of are the recipients not just of individuals but also grants. It was more in the area of is it proper for the Secretary of State to have an enforcement action against, to see that the funds are used in the way they were meant to be used.
And
there is discussion, there was discussion at the meeting of, can we do that? Can we authorize the Secretary of State to do that? Or is that something that charity has to do, and what's the best way to enforce that?
Good.
Is that not already addressed in the statute?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Is that not already addressed to some extent in the statute?
Yes. This is Tricia.
Oh, good. Okay. So we have
it's addressed to the extent of using the charitable purposes for the purpose that they're supposed to be used for. This is Tanya. I'm sorry. But the enforcement committee is looking beyond what's in the statute.
Oh, very good. Good. Thank you. Anything else, Greg?
No, that's it. We will circulate the committee's full recommendation or the laundry list, but by the 12th we will have narrowed it down to what our recommendations are for statutory changes.
Ah, very good. Terrific. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you and your committee's work on that. Carol,
yes.
Tell us about a certification and education.
Well, we've got to talk about certification first. First of all, we had a conference call on the 17th. Good participation, and I want to say a big thank you to my committee members. And at any time, guys, that I'm making this report and you would like to chime in and say, Carol, what you're saying is not true, or Carol, I need to add something on, please do so. And we would do that. Mark and the full committee, we started off with a consensus that the work that we were doing would require no law. But we would like for organizations to be encouraged to meet certain minimum standards. And in order to encourage them, we would like to recommend that they receive a seal of excellence either from the Secretary of State's office or from the Center of Nonprofits, which sort of is a seal of good housekeeping,
sure,
to say that they have met minimum standards. The committee feels strongly that we must have some standards for nonprofits.
Yeah.
And as a part of that conversation, we are recommending that we establish a tier system where the smaller nonprofits that have an annual budget of a certain amount can adhere to certain standards. And the larger you get, those standards are larger. We are looking at the Center for Nonprofits, Your Principles and Practices. We are looking at some information from New Hampshire, from Iowa, and Bill Moak shared with us the standards for the Better Business Bureau. So our committee will be reviewing all of those standards. We will be looking at what this tier system should look like, and we'll hopefully have some recommendations on that tier system for the August 12th meeting. Another thing that we felt that we got to do as a part of all of this work is to look at new requirements or standards for requirements or standards for new nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure that there are certain minimum qualifications or standards or best practices or principles that they adhere to prior to becoming a nonprofit organization here in our state? So we know we need to look at it from the front end.
Good.
To make sure that we're working on that piece and let them know what the incentives are. We also talked about incentives, and we don't know what that would be yet. Maybe that can feed in something to, you know, we don't know. We got to work on what incentives could be and how we can make sure people are here. The other piece that we want to look at, and this particularly is referenced to the Center for Nonprofits. A lot of the work that we're looking at as it relates to requirements and standards, we're looking at the center for nonprofits to sort of take the lead in this. And
sure,
in order for that to happen, we've got to look at and talk with you, Mark, about focusing on the capacity of the
good
center before we make real recommendations on how this work should be done and the certification and education piece should be. So we need to have that conversation with you about your capacity. If you don't have the capacity, what do we need to try to make sure,
sure,
that can work? Because we don't want to put any of these recommendations in place, especially the ones that affect the center, and you don't have the capacity to carry
sure
them out. Our timeline is to have another conference call probably before the August 12th meeting, and I am a strong believer of delegating. So I'm going to be assigning some of the committee members to some very specific recommendations to work on, you know, such as who want to take the lead on setting up this tier system, who want to review these standards. And we're hoping by the August 12th meeting we can bring back to you all a skeleton of what we are looking at, and then on the 26th bring back full recommendations.
Very good.
So, committee members, did I leave anything out?
I don't think so.
I think you got it, Carol.
All right.
It strikes me that y'all been pretty busy, you subcommittees. Man, good, excellent work. Thank you so much on behalf of the sector, certainly, and hopefully the Secretary of State. And any other comments before we move on to talk about Model Nonprofit Corporation Act?
Mark, I think, and you kind of mentioned this, I think it's crucial that the chairs of these subcommittees get together, because I think a lot of what we're going to do and probably final recommendations will overlap. We need
yes
to make sure we got all the pieces tied together.
You know what, let me, if I could briefly interject before we, one of my ideas, Carol, was to August 12th being really that key date for recommendations in rough form from the committees, and then have a comment period, get all those recommendations out to the whole committee just for that one public viewing, so that by August 26th, we're done. I mean, that we review everything, that by that
okay
point, there shouldn't be any questions. So what I'd like to propose to the to Carol, Charles, and Greg is to have a meeting next week, either face-to-face or to conference call. I know that the travel is an issue. And so I'll email y'all for that, and
okay,
we'll get that set up, because I think we need to talk and see what's going on. So,
and again, I want to thank Doug for working with us also on our committee work and getting a lot of the research done for us.
Terrific! Wow, very good work. Thank you,
Mark.
Yes,
Mark. This is Dave Scott with the Secretary of State's office.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. One thing that the Secretary of State has noted and has talked to me about in the past is this. I don't know if it really would appropriately fall under Charles's subcommittee with transparency, or if it could even possibly be a little bit of overlap with enforcement. But this is the issue. Under current statute, and the statute number is 7911507, mm-hmm. what we've been trying to do with Secretary Holzman's administration, the issue when an organization, a registered organization, allows their registration to simply lapse on the books, they choose for whatever reason not to renew that registration for another year.
Sure.
The situation that we have with 7911507 is that we don't have real clarity in the existing statute as to what, if any, would be the reporting requirement for that lapsed organization to this office for essentially that last year that they were in operation as a registered entity. And the issue or the problem that that presents is if there's no reporting to us on how funds were spent from donations solicited from our state citizens, there's no transparency, there's no place to look for how the organization did, how they performed, and how they spent those funds, and there's nothing for the public to review. And like I said, we've tried to really make some interpretations of 7911507 to require some of that last year or last registered year reporting with our office. And to be better equipped to do that, we would like for the committee to consider an amendment to 7911507 that clarifies that there is authority to, or that there is a requirement for reporting of essentially that last year of registered operations with our state.
Good thought. Charles, are you still on?
Yes.
Yeah. The IRS allows for kind of dissolution. Where you click on if this is your last report, don't they?
They do. It's a check the box type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see, Dave, where it would be either transparency or enforcement. Greg, what's your thought? Is that something your committee would like to take on, or?
Actually, one of the recommendations that we have so far, one of our initial recommendations, is to give the Secretary of State subpoena power over items that are supposed to be reported. So if, to the extent that that would help, you could issue a subpoena and require enforcement that if they were supposed to have registered, you could get that information.
No, we're not talking about when they should have registered, because when you re-register, you do provide that information. We're talking about entities that elect not register.
Right. These are entities that, for whatever reason, they don't want to solicit Mississippi, they didn't have a good experience here, or maybe, you know, I'm going to give an example. We had a lot of in-state organizations that were post-Katrina charities. We're 3 years out now for Katrina. They've registered, they raised funds, they spent their money, they've done their thing, and they're just being lapsed.
Yeah.
They're choosing not to continue as an organization. Those are the ones that I'm talking about. Those that simply, for whatever reason, just choose to lapse and not renew.
Yeah,
so there's no accountability that right now we're trying to force some accountability from those organizations to get them to report to us how they did in that last fiscal year that they operated, which hopefully will closely approximate the last registered year that we had with them. And that's where we are with this. We'd like a little more clarity in the statute that final year of reporting is required to be presented to our office for informational purposes for us to be able to publish that in the fall of the year when we publish the annual report for the charities.
Well, it may be that, this is Tricia, that if it was just worded that if you elect not to renew, you owe us a termination report.
Sure.
Yeah. If you could do this, Greg Perkle, if Charles' committee could say in their compliance that was required, then I think our committee in enforcement could give the power to the Secretary of State if they didn't follow through with it.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you, Dave. That's a very good thought.
This is Charles. One thing that we stumbled on a couple of times is that it seems as though the overall authority is very narrow that's vested with the Secretary of State's office. And I think it's very hard to legislate every single instance that could possibly come up. Greg, I don't know how we could provide just a little broader procedural authority to the Secretary of State to deal with things such as this or such as the issue we raised about investigating non-registered charities. Those two seem to go hand in hand, in my opinion.
They do, and sort of something that we had, at least in the chart that we are so far, we have left a blank for anything that has come up with by compliance, transparency, certification, and education, and we are putting enforcement that would apply to all of those things. So it might be that a broad enforcement, to the extent that we require it as a certification or a non-certification, but you should certify, you know, if you're in violation of the certification, you had $30,000, but you failed to register, something like that, that all those could be lumped together instead of being fact specific. We might miss something.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. And Greg, your committee's looking at that, right?
Yes, and I would ask my committee members to bear that in mind when we're making recommendations on our presentation that we remember to do that.
Good.
I've made a note, but if my committee members will do that as well.
I understand that. Terrific. Any other comments from either the committees or committee chairs? Terrific. Okay, good. Sharon's going to briefly mention, make comments about the Model Nonprofit Corporation Act. Mm-hmm. Sharon?
Yes. As some of you on the call may be aware, the American Bar Association has been working on a new edition of the Model Nonprofit Corporation Act, which is the third edition. There was an announcement that came out last week that committee has posted the final draft of this act on the Business Law Section website. This draft is not approved. There could be more changes if the committee gets any comments before August the 8th. So it's not exactly a final version, it's just a final draft. And so just to be aware that this is a new draft, that's a new model act that's coming out of the ABA, but it's not final. No states have adopted it because it isn't final. There could be more comments and revisions to it, but I just wanted you on the committee to just to note that we are aware of this act, and I have asked the chair of this committee if she could send me just something like talking points or a summary of what this act does that changes or is new from the previous version of the act. And when I get that, I can send that out to you. But at this, you know, stage of the committee work, I don't feel that it's, you know, appropriate that we try to tackle this, especially when it's not final and no states have adopted it. But it's just something to keep in mind that it is out there, and if this, you know, committee is extended through, you know, next year, the next legislative session, we may want to look at it at that time. But at this time, we are not going to, you know, do any extensive review or study of that model act. So I wanted to mention that. Does anybody have any questions about that specifically? Okay, great. The other item that I wanted to go over is, and I can't remember if we mentioned this specifically at the last full meeting or not, but one model act that we will look at adopting this year is the Model Registered Agent Act. And this act, what it does is it takes all of the registered agent provisions and fees that are applicable to all the different types of entities that are in Mississippi, whether they be nonprofit, corporations, LLCs, limited partnerships, et cetera, and it puts all of that, those requirements and fees in one place and makes them consistent and uniform throughout the various business entity laws. And what we have done is we have basically done a random assignment of about four people from each of the business reform committees that this would affect, and that's the corporations, the LLCs and partnerships, and the nonprofits and charities committee. I took people from those three committees, and I focused it on people that were either attorneys or CPAs, because that is who would have the most interest of this act, and it would be most pertinent to. I have assigned Tom Buckley, Virginia Weber, Matthew McLaughlin, and Aileen McNeil to this committee. And since you have been assigned to this committee, you can feel if you need to relieve your responsibilities on either of these other subcommittees. I think the committee chairs would be okay with that, since it's only four people out of 42. But what will happen is that we will provide a notebook of materials to this committee, which will have a summary of what this act is. We'll do some sort of a presentation, and you'll have a copy of all of the nonprofit statutes in Mississippi that would be affected by this act. And then what we would want the committee to accomplish is to come back and make recommendations as to how to adopt that statute, that model act in Mississippi. I don't see it as taking up a lot of time. I think we'll pretty much have it mapped out for you, but we do want to be consistent and make sure that the committees are all informed of what's going on. And so I would expect someone from that committee to report back to the full nonprofit committee group at a later date as to, you know, what they've recommended. Does anybody have any questions about that? Great. Other business, the only other business that we have is just to mention that we did not get a draft of the minutes out to you today, but they are in process. We will be sending those out later this week, and you can review them and give us your comments, and we'll submit those to be approved at the next meeting.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Any other comments for the good of the group?
Just one, Mark.
Yeah.
Just a comment that Carol mentioned in her report, and that is, for all the committees that's working and coming up with recommendations, to always keep in mind of the capacity either of the Secretary of the State's office or the Center for Nonprofits to follow up on the things that they're going to be recommending. And so I think Carol threw it in there and said, hey, Mark, don't agree to do something you don't have the capacity to do, and let's don't labor the Secretary of State's office with more stuff than they're able to do when you start talking about trying to hold these organizations accountable. We all just need to keep that in mind as we move forward.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I know the Secretary appreciate that.
There's a tension.
I always appreciate those comments. Thank you. Okay, y'all, I think we're ahead of schedule. Y'all, if you want to stay on the line and just chit-chat till 1 o'clock, you're welcome to, but I suspect that there's nobody here who wants to do that. So.
Just for attendance purposes, if there's anybody that dialed in late and wanted to let us know that they're on the call and hasn't answered the roll call, could you do that at this time?
This is Roger Wilder. I've dialed in a little bit late, but I've been sitting here listening with great interest. Thank you.
Got it.
And Warren Yoder. I introduced myself, but I'm not sure you got it.
We have it. Thank you.
You'll have to repeat that. You got bleeped.
Uh-oh.
Who was that?
Jan Eastman.
Oh, hey, Jan.
Jan, yes.
Anybody else? Terrific.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol, Greg, and Charles, if you could hang on for just a minute. I want to set out a time.
Okay.
Bye. Great. Thank you for your time.
Mark Whitney Buchanan said she's on the call for somebody.
Mark Rensier.
Who?
Mark Rensier.
Mark Rensier. Oh, I thought she said Mansier. I was like, what?
Great.
Okay, got it.
Greg, Charles, and Carol, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Let's. I'd like to see if we could set up a conference call for next week just to see, start solidifying, because we're running out of time. I'm not running out of time, but we only have two more meetings scheduled. If that makes sense to y'all, to have a quick kind of debrief or make sure we're all communicating.
Yeah.
And to make sure that we're all on the right track.
Exactly.
Next week, you say?
Next week, yeah, if that's possible. Because that gives you – because y'all have subcommittee meetings coming up again, don't you?
My subcommittee probably won't meet until the first week in August.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I'm definitely working on this website, the blog issues. I think that's a great way for us to communicate, and I'm going to try to get all that cleared up before the end of today so that by the end of the week we can get a report to you.
Oh, terrific. That helps a lot. What does next week look like for y'all?
Wednesday is good for me.
Wednesday's good for me.
Greg, what about the 30th? Is that good for you?
It's good as long as we can do it before 11:30. If we can do it at 10:30 or so, I can do it.
All right. Why don't we plan at 10?
I think 10 works great.
Charles, does that work for you?
Perfect.
Okay. Well, we'll do that, and we'll just – obviously, you have the phone-in information, and we'll just kind of create an agenda. If you have any specific thoughts, let me know, and we'll make sure everybody – has that. But, yeah, let's just kind of regroup, not regroup, but look at this and make sure that we're all communicating, moving it forward. So, y'all, thank you. Good work. You're an awesome group of people.
All right. Thank you all very much.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah, that's great.